It's not spelt exactly the same, but you know, if we want our lives to count, we've got to focus it. And because we can't live for everything, can we? We can't do it all. You don't have time for everything, and not everything is of equal value. Jesus said one of the things that's most valuable in all of life is love. He was asked, what's the greatest? And we're going to talk about that. And if you're a guest, I want to invite you to take the little insert if that's a help to you. And we're going to go quickly through this, but some very, very important things I want us to take a look at. Jesus said, the most important thing in all of life is loving Him, loving God, and loving each other. Most important thing. Jesus told His disciples, the distinctive mark of your life that'll make a difference, the thing that people will look at and think you're different, is by your love for each other. And it's called the Great Commandment. If you missed last week, by the way, thanks to Jonathan, hit it out of the park, really got us in the spirit and excited about this 40 days. And if you've missed that, go online, get that message, because that was a great, great message, and he did a fantastic job, so I appreciate that so much. But Jesus was asked, what's the most important command in all of life? And look what Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. He says this, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Why does Jesus point out the second one? The guy only asked him for the first one. What's the greatest? Because God says that these are the two things that matter most in life. Love for God, love for people. He says, if you get these two things, you got it. When God created us, He didn't take us, you know, immediately to heaven. You ever wonder why He didn't just create us, you know, save us, take us to heaven or whatever? Why all this stuff here on earth? You know, because we're going to spend, 60, 70, maybe even 100 years here on the earth. But we're going to spend all of eternity, either heaven or hell. Why didn't God just create us, take us immediately to heaven? We're put here on earth because this is a lesson about love. God put us on earth to do two things, to learn to love Him and to learn to love each other. Life isn't about acquisition, how much I get. Life isn't about accomplishment, how much I do. It's not about achievement, how much I earn, or any of the other things that people say life's all about. Because you're not going to take your career with you. You're not going to take your car with you. You're not going to take your china with you. You're not going to take your house to heaven. Some of you are really experiencing that. Say, yeah. The bank's taking it. I'm not taking it with me. But the fact is, we can't take any of the stuff that we spend so much time and effort and money on. What we do take with us to heaven is our character. We take us. That's what lasts. So if you don't get that, we've wasted our time. If we don't focus on love, we've wasted our whole life. And so let's talk about this priority of love today. We know love's important, but we often forget it. We get so distracted, or at least I get so distracted with other things. And today we're going to look at what I call the three laws of love. So let's look at these. If you're going to ever be a great lover, you're going to learn to really love God and learn to really love people. You've got to learn to keep in mind these three things. The first law of love is simply this. The best use of life is love. God says you need to make learning how to love a number one priority, your primary objective, your greatest ambition, your life purpose. So you say, why? Okay, the best use of life is love. Why? Well, let's look at some things really quickly. There's four reasons why I think love is the most important investment of our lives. The first thing the Bible says is that love validates my faith. What does that mean? It proves I really am saved. It proves I really am a part of God's family. If you go to the White House, you know, you have to validate who you are. They'll just let anybody in, right? You have to go there. Sometimes you have to be fingerprinted, and they want some identification, and then they'll let you in. You have to have a validation of who you are. You have to have, when you go to the ATM, you don't just stand in front of the ATM and say, money, right? You have to slide in a card, and then you have to put in your little PIN number. Why? to validate that you are the owner of that card. You are that person who is represented by that card. You have to do that. The validation or the proof or the demonstration, the fruit, shall we say, of the fact that I'm a child of God isn't church attendance, right? It's not acting spiritual. It's not wearing a black robe. I mean, all the things that sometimes we associate with religion. What validates and demonstrates to people that I truly am a follower of Jesus Christ is love. Look what 1 John 4:8 says. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's pretty clear, isn't it? God wants us to learn to love on earth, because he wants us to become like him. When I meet people who are not loving, I, you know, immediately make assumptions. If I don't know them, if they're a very unloving person, I just assume they're not a Christ follower. You ever had somebody be so loving, you've said something, man, they must be a Christian. Why? Because they're so loving, right? That is a telltale sign, and Jesus said that. 1 John 4:20 says something very important too. It says, if someone says, I love God, that's a good thing to say, but then hates a Christian brother or sister, that person's a liar. Well, that's pretty blunt, isn't it? But if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Love validates my faith. It proves I really am a child of God. The second thing that love does is love integrates my life. Love becomes the dominant life principle by which everything else in life is integrated. My social life, my financial life, my church life, my work life, my school life, my friends. You know, that all becomes integrated by love. Everyone builds their life around something. Some people build their life on money. Some people build their life on popularity. Other people build their life around sex or success. Or some people even build their life around a hobby. But the fact is that what we need is something that's so strong. We need to build our lives around something that's so strong that it's not going to fall apart when the trials come. The Bible says the only thing strong enough to do that is love. Some of you have gone through difficult times in your marriage. Some of you have gone through difficult times in a relationship. And you say, the only thing we really had, I mean, it got, when you really hone it down, I mean, we had to hang on to you know, for dear life. But the one thing that kept us going was we were committed in love to each other. I don't see couples staying together just because they have lots of money, you know. I don't see any stability just because, you know, they're successful. But what really keeps a relationship strong and strengthens even our relationship with God is love. Colossians 3:14 says, love is more important than anything else. It is what ties everything else together. The third thing also, that reason why love is just such an amazing investment in our life, and the most important one, is that love, catch this, compensates for my sin. This is really good news when you understand this. It means when I blow it, when I sin, God says, my first question is, did you sin? God does, you know, God knows when we're going to blow it. He knows that we've blown it. He knows when we're going to blow it. The key thing is God wants to know, do we love him? He's saying, do you love my son, Jesus Christ? You say, why does that make all of the difference? If he knows we're imperfect, which he does, and yet he still loves us, that's what makes the difference. Look in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, most of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. What does love cover a multitude of sins mean? It's got two meanings. First, when Christ came to earth and he died on the cross, he hung on the cross and he said, I love you this much. His love for us, his deep love for us, because he shed his blood for us and was buried and rose again, his love for us is the very source of us being able to be saved, for us to have forgiveness, for us to be able to be a part of his family and have eternal life. He paid for our punishment. He paid for the debt for all the sins we've committed. Because why? Because he loves me. Everything else I've ever done, everything I'll ever do wrong is forgiven. Why? Because I deserve it? No, but because of his love. His love has covered a multitude of sins. And he did that on the cross. In fact, Colossians 2:14 says, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. God wants us in heaven, but heaven's perfect. We can't get to heaven on our own merit. Heaven's perfect, God is perfect, but we're not. So Jesus died for us. And Jesus says, if we will accept his love, we'll accept what he did for us, and we will ask him to come into our life, we have a relationship with him. We simply, I mean, it's just as simple as, I want to have a relationship with you, God. I want to be one of your children. I want your forgiveness. God said, absolutely. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to earn it. It's all by God's grace. We sang about that today. That's great news. The other principle of love covers a multitude of sins is that when I understand, or a little bit at least, I don't think we'll ever understand really all that we've been forgiven. But the fact that I understand that I've been forgiven, you know what that allows me to do? That allows me to cut you some slack. Because I know how much God's forgiven me. In fact, I know how much God's forgiven me more than you know how much God's forgiven me. God and my wife, that's all. Those are the only two people who really know how much I've been forgiven. Right? But God has forgiven me so much. And so that allows me then to not get so angry, to be a little more patient, to be able to, even when that person doesn't deserve it, and that person's irritating, just to be able to cut them some slack, realizing, hey, and give them forgiveness, because I've been given so much forgiveness. That's a mark of love. And God wants us to experience his love so we can pass along his grace, pass along his love to each other. God wants us to experience that. You know, the whole history of the world, do you realize since the beginning of mankind, God has always chosen to use imperfect people? You realize that? Always. Of course, with the exception of his son Jesus Christ coming, but he came because we are imperfect. He has always used imperfect people. Think of King David. Great guy, right? Boy, what a mess up, though. I mean, here's a guy he lied, he cheated, he committed adultery, he's setting up people to be murdered. I mean, it's just not the guy you'd want to live next door to, see? And yet he's called the friend of God. He's called a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he deeply loved God. When he was confronted with his sin, you could read Psalms and you could see him expressing and pouring out his love to God and his repentance to God. And when he was confronted with his sin, he would immediately repent. I'm sorry, God, please forgive me. I love you. And God knew that he loved him. And let me say this about you. You've probably messed up. Well, I know you've messed up. We've all messed up. We've all are sinners. And the fact is that God wants to look at your heart and not worry about whether you're perfect or not, but just to find out if you love him. That's all he's asking. He's not going to force you to love him, but he wants you to. David was a man after God's own heart, not because he had it together, not because he was perfect, but just because he loved. What matters is not that you've messed up in life. What matters is, do you love God with all your heart? And I think that all of us are going to be working on that. And that's why we're doing 40 Days of Love, to be able to really take that time and focus on God loving us, us loving him, us expressing that love to each other. Well, the fourth thing I want to just express, the reason why it's such a great idea, a great concept, and a great principle for us to live our life for love is that love reverberates forever. Love goes on and on. Love echoes into eternity. Everything else is temporary. But every single loving action is going to go on for eternity, and God's going to reward it in eternity. Did you know that you can't be a failure in love? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. So if you are doing action, if you are loving, you cannot be a failure. It's an absolute impossibility. You say, well, wait a minute, I don't got any money in my bank account. My house is being foreclosed on. I lost my job. I lost this. The Bible says love never fails. Never fails. You say, but I tried to love and I... Love never fails. But the response that I got, love never fails. Look at this, what it says also in 1 Corinthians 13 at the very end of the chapter. These three things last forever. So all three of these are in heaven. Do you realize that? There's a lot of things on earth that aren't going to last in heaven, but these three: faith, hope, and love. Guess what the greatest one is? He tells us, love is the greatest. And at last, people are going to forget your work. They're going to forget your wealth. You know, people are never remembered. People are never remembered for what they made. They're really remembered for what they give away, aren't they? Isn't that true? One day, all of our trophies, all of our merit badges, all of our report cards, our diplomas, our certificates of accomplishment, our, you know, the gold watch you got for retirement, you know, even bowling trophies, right? I mean, all of that, one day, all of that's going to be gone. One day, all of those trophies are going to be trash. You know, somebody, eventually. I doubt any of you have awards that your grandparents, you know, earned, right? You know, in my 25 years of being in a ministry, I've been at the bedside of a lot of people who have passed from here into eternity. A lot of people who have passed away. Whether it be in the hospital or whether it be literally sitting on the corner of the bed, I have never yet had anyone say to me, David, would you run over that shelf and gather all my trophies and just sit them here on the bed? I just want them to be around me in these last few moments. They never do that. What do they want? You know what they want. They want the people they love around them. The ones that love them, the ones that they love, and they want to express that love and share that love as long as they can. And, you know, no matter how long we live, eventually we're going to learn that. We'll learn that lesson, that the most important thing is in all of life is relationship. We will eventually. Now, my hope and my goal, my prayer is that we learn that today, not when we're at, you know, our deathbed. So what matters right now, relationship, our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. That's why God put me here on earth. In fact, the Bible says life without love is worthless. Earlier in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. The guys who went down there to Mexico to build didn't do it because they have the skill. And they've got great skill. They didn't do it because they just thought this was it would be a nice little break from their schedules. They did it out of love. I know you guys. I know all of you guys. You guys did it because you love God, and now you love those people even more than you did even when you started going there. You were motivated by love, and now you're stirred in love, and that's why you guys are saying, let's go back. Let's go back. Why? If I give all my possessions but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If we know it's really about love, it's really about relationships, why do we skimp on relationships? Why is it that the things that we tend to set aside or to try to, that seem so important to us, the thing that gets on our forefront, aren't the things that are relationship? Our relationship with God, man, that's an easy one to set aside because we're so busy. Well, God will understand. Set our relationship with our spouse or with our kids. Well, they understand. Because, you know, those are people who love us unconditionally. So we just kind of, well, they'll understand. And then we focus and we live a lot of our life on the very things that don't matter as much. When you hear people, you know, sometimes a lot of people give first-class allegiance to second-class causes. We get overloaded. We get in a hurry. We're overworked. And so what do we say? I don't have time. I don't have time to make it to church. I don't have time to be in a small group. Would love to do that, but I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to spend that time with my kids. I don't have time to do this. And we live ourselves lives in this way, and huge mistake. We focus on what's urgent and not what's important. 5 years from now, you know all those bills that you're panicking about? You're not going to care about those. You're not going to care about those bills. 5 years from now, though, you'll have to live with the results of those relationships you skimmed on, though. That's going to make a difference. And nothing can take the place of love. One day, we're going to stand before God in heaven, and he's not going to say, hey, tell me about your career. I'm kind of interested in that. How many jobs did you get? How many sales did you make? You know, how many deals were you able to close? Things good down there? It's not going to, God doesn't care about that. And it seems so important to us right now. You say, well, Pastor, I got to live. You know, I got to eat. God's not going to ask us how big our bank account is. He's not going to ask us how much we invested or how much we earned or how much we lost. He's not going to say, show me your report card or your diploma or a lot of things. He's going to say, what did you do with what I put you on earth to do? With love. Did you love me? Did you love other people? Two greatest things in the earth. Two greatest things that you're ever asked to do. Love him and love others. You know what's difficult? Let me just throw this out. Have you done this? I've done this. And so that's why it really struck me, and I was very, 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 very convicted. But I tend to say stuff like, oh, I need to make time for relationships. Yeah, that's right, Pastor. Good stuff. And I'm going through this. Yeah. I'm thinking, wow, I got to preach this on Sunday. I got to share this. And man, I really need to make time for relationships. And then I thought, David, you're an idiot. Make time for relationships. You hear what we're saying? I'm going to make time for relationships, okay, in my life. Okay, I've got my life, and I need to make time for relationships. My friends, relationships are my life. Our relationship with God is our life. That's life. Our relationship with each other, that is life. We should be worrying more about how are we going to fit in work and all of these relationship stuff. We've got to love God and love each other. So how am I going to work through going to school? How am I going to work through this? Now some of you are going to say, yeah, day off, right? Well, Mom, if we could just cut the day in half, I could have more time for relationships. But you see what I'm saying? We get the perspective. It's kind of like when those guys came back from Mexico. It's like your perspective's different. Your thinking is different. And we need to be looking at this as our life is our relationships, and how do we integrate then the rest of life? Well, we've got like 3 minutes left, so I need to get to law number two. Because busyness, right? Squeezing all this in. This is important, and this stuff isn't rocket science, by the way, and you know this. But the best expression of love is time. That's how you spell love, T-I-M-E, time. You know, I remember the days, and I think we're over it, where we used to say, well, I can't spend quantity time, but I can spend quality time. See, we've gotten smart enough now. I mean, that went over pretty well, you know, years ago. But now we realize that's the dumbest thing you've ever, I mean, come on. Yeah, okay, honey, you get 6 minutes of quality time. You know what? There is no quality quantity. You've got to spend a quantity of time. And the quality is important too. 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us not love in words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And actions and truth just takes time. Love is not something you feel or something you say. It's something you do. So question, what's the most desired gift of love? Diamonds? Chocolate? You know, flowers? Really, the most desired gift that we can give to each other is time. Why? Because it's the only, shall I say, commodity that we have that doesn't vary. See, we all have different amounts of wealth. We all have different amounts of energy. We all have different talents. We all have different styles or amounts of personality, shall we say. But the fact of the matter is we all have the same amount of time. That is the one thing. As Americans, we'll live 168 hours a week, and we choose what, you know, how to use that. We will live as Americans. We will live 25,550 days. That's 70 years. If we live to be 70, it's 25,550 days. And we've got to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with that time? We've got choices to make. You see, and I say this hesitantly, we can get more money. We can't get more time. See, you lose money, aw, nuts. We'll have to figure out a way to get more of that. You lose time, there's no way to get more of that. See? So we choose our time carefully. So we watch a TV program, there goes an hour. Was that a wise choice of our time? We have to ask ourselves that. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But you know what? We won't get it back. That's why the most valuable, precious thing you can give to someone is your attention. When you do, you're saying, you matter to me, you're valuable to me, you're worth listening to. And Jesus said, the essence of relationships is not what we do for each other or give to each other. Jesus taught that the essence of true loving relationships is how much we give of ourselves to each other. See? That's important. How much of God did he give to us? He gives us stuff. He gives us blessings. And sometimes we think, oh, God's given us so much. What do we think? Oh, well, taking care of us, having us be born in America. You know, most of us have a car to drive and a house to live in. You know what? God's measure of love is, in fact, he gave himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave himself. And that's a true measure of love. That's love. Now, we men, we don't get this quite as easily. Right? We're in the slow group on this one. Because what happens is what we'll say things like, and I've heard men say it, I don't understand these kids, and I don't understand my wife. You know, I mean, I provide for them, I work hard, I, you know, bring home a paycheck, I'm putting the bread on the table, and why, you know, what's the deal? Why are they so upset with me? You know what? They care a lot less about that than just having us. Right, guys? I mean, they really want us. Galatians 5:6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. I want to read this. Dr. Richard Swenson, one of the world's foremost authorities on stress, wrote this. I've come to believe that the speed of society is as much responsible for the problems of personal and social dysfunction as any other single factor. Virtually all our relationships are damaged by hurry. We're always in a hurry. Many families are being starved to death by velocity. We walk fast, we talk fast, we eat fast, then announce, sorry, I gotta run. God, I suspect, doesn't fit any better into our breakneck schedules than our children do. Chuck Swindoll said, busyness destroys relationships. It substitutes shallow frenzy for deep friendship. Busyness feeds the ego, but it starves those who love us. It fills the calendar, but it fractures the family. So you say, well, how do I find more time? How do I find more time for people in my life? And it's really not the right question. It's really, see, they should be the priority. Then you figure out how the rest of it fits. See, it's just a matter of perspective. Maybe it's a system. Maybe it's a paradigm that we've got to shift in our lives. Or how am I going to fit relationships? No, how am I going to fit work into my relationships? So what does that mean for some? Some of you may say, I've got relationships, so you know what? I can't work as much overtime. But you say, but man, I've got to do it while I can, because who knows how long the work's going to last, and who knows if I'm going to have a job. We start with relationship, start with our relationship with God. We start with our relationship with each other, and then we work around that. And you know what? Honestly, just in a practical sense, for me, you know what the problem is? Just too much time in front of screens. I mean, computer screens and TV screens and stuff. I mean, if I, you know, just reevaluating that, and that's just a little practical sideline, you know? I read, and the reason why I say that is because recent studies show that the average American, of course, we're above average here, this group, but the average American out there watches TV or sits at a computer screen, working or playing, 6 hours a day, average. 6 hours a day. So let's just cut out the weekend. Let's say it's only 5 days a week, 6 hours a day. Let's say you didn't do it on Saturday and Sunday, but of course we do that anyway, don't we? That's 30 hours a week. 30 hours a week for a year is 1,560 hours in front of a screen. Let's put that in perspective. That's 97 straight days of 16 hours a day in front of a screen. Now, there's a few of us, and I mean, your pastoral staff would probably bump that average up, wouldn't we, Jonathan and I? You know, my wife's going, man, I'd love just 6 hours a day. That would be like a treat if I was older. You know, we do that. You know, but it's so funny. I mean, people sit and they'll watch reruns of Friends instead of going out and making some. You know, really? We'll sit in front of a screen. We'll watch a reality show instead of dealing with our own reality of our own family, right? We're watching people swapping wives for a couple of weeks, and we don't even take care of our own wife, you know? Really, the Bible says, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter what I believe, I'm bankrupt without love. Ephesians 5:2. God wants you to make time for relationships. And look at this in Ephesians 5:2. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. Now look, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else. But the truth of it is, love and sacrifice go together. If it isn't sacrifice, it's not love. Why? You say, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Love means giving up my agenda for your agenda. It means giving up my time for your time, my preferences for your preferences. It means I give up what I'd rather do right now and do what you'd rather do. That's sacrifice. That's love. It's not all the mushy-gushy stuff, right? It's very practical. It's very... And sometimes, why is it we spend the least amount of time with those that we love the most? Maybe it's just activities. Yeah. You know, I want to recommend starting tomorrow morning, since we're on 40 days of love. Recommend starting tomorrow morning. Sit on the edge of your bed. Before we get off the bed, just say, God, if I don't get anything else done today, I want to be able to end this day and say, I love you a little bit more, and I showed love to other people. Because then at the day, you have those days where you're busy, 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 and then you get to the end of the day and you don't feel like you got anything accomplished. If at the end of the day you could say, I love God a little bit more because I spent some time with him, and I love people a little bit more because I spent time and expressed to them. I'll tell you, you'll get at the end of the day, and maybe you didn't get everything on your to-do list done, but God's not going to ask us in heaven if you get everything done on your to-do list. So maybe if we just take some time, and then the end of those days we can say, didn't get my list done, didn't make as many sales as I want, business is down, but boy, I love God a little bit more, and I love people today. Law 3, best time to love, I tell you, the best time to love is now. Not tomorrow, not someday, now. If you have the opportunity to show love, just do it, you know. I don't understand people who say, I'm going to save as much money as I possibly can. Then when I die, I'm going to give it to a charity. Why don't you give now while you can watch it and enjoy it? See? Galatians 6:10 says, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. That really means now, doesn't it? Ephesians 5:16, use every chance you have for doing good. Every opportunity. Don't let those opportunities pass. And then Proverbs 3:27 and 28 says, whenever you are able, do good to people who need help. If you have what your neighbor asks for, don't say, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Boy, here's a practical thing, right? Never procrastinate in showing love. There's a lot of things you should procrastinate in. There's a lot of things you should put off. There's a lot of things that you should say, wait, this needs more planning. This needs more time. I've got to think this through. Love is the one thing you don't have to procrastinate on. Don't wait, wait. And what does that mean? That means at home, at home in the neighborhood or at work, hey, there's going to be those obnoxious people at your office. You know those people that are driving you nuts? Guess what? That's the ones. The ones who are there warm and friendly, good morning, and give you coffee, and give you a hug, and so great to see you. You know what? Love them. But that's probably not your project. Real love shows love by loving those people who are probably obnoxious because they're not being shown love. They're the people who are hurting, so they're not being shown love. You know, and I don't mean to get, kind of depressing, but you got to show love now because circumstances change. I mean, kids grow up too. You get notice this? They hand them to you at the hospital, you breathe twice, and they're teenagers. And if you survive, shooting yourself in the head, then they grow up even further, is this just, right? No, I'll tell you, but it is amazing how quick, isn't it? John can relate to this. You've got children or your kids are now out of the house. It's like I've said before, nobody ever says to me, boy, life just drug on and on. Yeah. I thought this life would never get over. Nobody ever says that. I've talked to people in their 90s. Where did all that time go? So you know what? Just the safe thing to do is love now. You know, when you get those opportunities, just love now. My goal for 40 days of love is that I'm going to become a more loving person. I hope you'll too, but my goal is, I don't know about you, I'm sick of my level of loving. I don't love God enough. I don't love people enough. I don't love, you know, I'm just not obeying God's command enough. And so over the next 6 weeks, I am excited because I think all of us are going to get to a point where we say, look, I'm looking back on just a month and a half, and I love God more than I did when I started. It's what matters most. God made that really clear. Well, let's bow our heads.